Hello and welcome to HIV Matters podcast. My name is Michelle Croston, and as your host, I will be facilitating interesting conversations with leading experts in the field of HIV care. The conversations will be centred around exploring ways to improve quality of life for people living with HIV. Throughout my career, I've always had a keen interest in any initiatives to improve outcomes for people living with HIV, which has led me to work with a variety of different organisations, with different healthcare professionals and activists. Here at HIV Matters, we hope to use our unique perspectives and platforms to improve knowledge and understanding with regards to HIV. In order to do this, we will engage in conversations with people living with HIV, people who have worked in the HIV sector, and sometimes a mixture of both. We hope you enjoy the episode, and if you have any ideas or questions on this or future episodes, please contact us at hello@hivmatters.co.uk. You can also follow us on Instagram at HIV Matters Podcast, or visit our website at www.hivmatterspodcast.co.uk. Don't forget to subscribe, rate and comment on our show. Today I'm being joined on the HIV Matters podcast by Sarah and Jess, who are the CEO and Deputy CEO of Thames Valley Positive Support and also the hosts of the HIV podcast. So Sarah has been the CEO of Thames Valley Positive Support for over the past 20 years. During this time, she's expanded the charity from being a single venue to having a dual operation and venue. They've also been awarded the Queen's Award for voluntary service under her leadership. Jess is the Deputy CEO who's worked there for over 15 years and started a client support group. Sarah and Jess have worked together for over 15 years, and this really comes across in their amazing podcast together. It's clear from the work they do and the passion they share that they've enhanced and supported many people living with HIV during this time. They're both extremely passionate about HIV advocacy and education, and I'm hoping that we'll get to know them much better as we listen to them throughout the podcast. Thank you both for agreeing to be part of the podcast. So it's our pleasure, Sarah and Jess, to welcome you to HIV Matters today. So I'm just wondering, for our listeners, are you able to share with us your journey to developing a really successful podcast?
Oh, you're so lovely calling it really successful. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm just saying the truth. It is so successful. Yeah, I'm just like blown away, and it's just amazing. And I think I said in our kind of end of the show type thing, I just have listened to you guys for hours, and it's just so entertaining and engaging. So a huge well done. Yeah, it's phenomenal. So yeah.
Thank you. And I don't think we can fully take the credit for coming up with the idea of the podcast. So we both work for an HIV charity called Thames Valley Positive Support that offers support to people in Berkshire and Hampshire. And actually, the podcast really was their idea. So very few of our service users are open about their diagnosis. So we don't have large cities in Berkshire. We only have towns, quite close-knit communities. I think you'd have to be very brave to be open about your diagnosis. But because they're not open, they don't really have a voice in the community. They have us to do that for them. But they wanted a voice or a means of normalising HIV, so that in the hope that one day they could be more open about their diagnosis. So that's really where the idea came from. And it just grew from there, really. We started to look at how HIV affects different areas of their life or different aspects around the world. So events where HIV has been an important part of things, TV programs that have featured HIV, famous people that have contracted HIV or supported our community. And it's just grown and grown and grown. And I don't think Jess or I appreciated at the start just how interwoven HIV is in everything in people's lives. And that's kind of where we're at now, really. We do some episodes on specific things around HIV and safe sex, and we do some episodes that are a little bit more lighthearted. And we, of course, feature people that are heroes to us and heroes to our community. But the credit fully goes to our service users for coming up with their idea.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey, hasn't it? We started like literally sitting on the floor in the lounge of our drop-in centre, recording our first few episodes. And yeah, it's to be in 173 countries now is, I mean, I actually can't quite comprehend that, you know, that we're listened to all over the world, or that people want to, especially, I mean, we've chatted, Michelle, and you've said, you know, you listen to our podcast, and, you know, we talk quite a lot of nonsense as well as talking about HIV. So the fact that people are still downloading it, we're so pleased about that. It's, yeah, it's really, really amazing. And we sort of just had to learn on the fly, really. We taught ourselves everything, you know. We made the first few episodes with our service users. And then we're a bit, oh, well, we need to look at the sound, or we need to look at this, and we need to look at editing. And we've sort of just gone step by step teaching ourselves. So, yeah, it's been quite the journey.
Yeah, and just kind of just to kind of echo that, you know, like listening to you, it's so good, the connection you both have. You know, I could imagine you being on like Loose Women having these conversations. It is like a really kind, it's just real. And I know we have a lot of guests on our HIV Matters podcast, and I just love having different conversations with different people. But I think what's unique about your podcast is it's two of you having these conversations, which just kind of build and build and build and really kind of engage the audience. So it is phenomenal. So thank you for developing and continuing to build on that as well. So I was just wondering if you was able to share with our listeners, what has been the highlight of developing the podcast?
So I think we would both agree that it's this community that we didn't expect to sort of come out of it. And we talk about it a lot on the podcast, and it really is a real thing where we see people who are listeners of the podcast who either get in touch with us or they're interacting with each other. And these are people all across the world, and it sort of opened up a bit of a world of, yeah, just this little supportive HIV community that we have. And that, I think, can be everything, especially if you're somewhere in the world that it doesn't have much HIV support. Perhaps there's no charity, there's no peer support. You know, you can listen to us, you can interact with other people on Instagram, some who are open about their status, some who work in the sector. It seems it's just such a really welcoming, lovely community. So that's definitely a massive highlight for us, isn't it?
I'd absolutely agree with that. And I think from a service user point of view, it's been really rewarding for them. And actually, it's been quite empowering for them, because, you know, it did come from them. It's their idea. And now it's global. And I think it's quite reassuring for them to hear from people around the world how they're managing HIV, what support they have. So that's an added benefit. And we never thought that when we first started it. So
no, definitely. And another highlight that I have to mention, because we haven't actually mentioned this on the podcast yet, but I was like dying to mention it. We were actually invited this year to be filter judges on the British Podcast Awards.
Oh, wow.
So we both got to pick a category and then listen through and, you know, obviously rate and be. We're not like the big judges who are like on the website, but just to be invited to be filter judges, we were super proud. So that was like a really lovely highlight this year.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Definitely. And I think that's great. You know, it's kind of that recognition from the people who are kind of podcasters, which is great as well. So, yeah, fabulous. I look forward to hearing more about that as well. So thinking about all the episodes that you've recorded, because you've recorded quite a few together now, I don't know if you want to share with that. I think you've got a big anniversary coming up of podcast numbers that you want to share with our listeners. But out of all those episodes, what would you say has been the best one that you've recorded so far?
So we are about to come up to our 100th episode, which I can't believe. Obviously, it's weekly, so it just flies by, doesn't it? So we're doing our first in two episodes around disclosure. on our 100th episode. So we're really excited about that and can't believe we've got this far and we're still growing. I think for me, one of the favourite ones we've done, it's not a standalone episode, it was our crime mini series from last year. Just because we learn so much. I mean, we learn so much anyway, as you know, you literally hear us going, why don't we know this? But the crime mini series, I think, especially in terms of HIV and reckless transmission, there's definitely been this whole sort of scaremongering where it's, you know, you could infect someone and go to prison. And actually, we really unpicked, no, that's not how this is, and gave people knowledge. And, you know, Sarah did an amazing job of, you know, we looked at it from lots of different points of view, so from the police and all sorts of different. I just love that. It honestly blew my mind slightly. But it's nice to be able to reassure our service users that, you know, you would not be, you know, being dragged into a police station or anything like that, which I think sometimes can be the thoughts, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I think that's a good one. Mine's a bit more, well, it's not, it is lighthearted. So we did an episode on protection and how to use a condom. So that's quite serious and difficult to cover in a podcast because obviously it's visual and so we're having to describe it. And I just think the amount of editing that went into that episode, probably the most we've ever had to do. I think that was the moment we realised that we're both quite immature at times.
Yeah.
And it all started because Jess was demonstrating how to put a condom onto a model penis. And the penis was blue. Which threw me because she's waving it at the screen and why is it blue? It's like a Smurf's penis. What's going on here? And that just set the tone.
That was it, wasn't it? That was a fun episode.
I haven't laughed so much in ages. But and we should release some of the edits from it because I think people think, you know, we work for an HIV charity. We are professionals. We're all professionals, right? But sometimes you just resort to just childlike humor.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, it was, yeah, it was really good though. It was really fun. But I wanted to ask you, do you have a favorite of our episodes?
Good question. So I really loved the one on Greece and fame. So I'm a huge, like, both of those fans. And I was like, oh my gosh, why did I not know this? I was like, and I kept telling everybody all day, I was like, did you know this? So I really loved that one. That's like was one of the standout ones for me. I did like the one that you did around children and how schools had. I really liked that. I didn't like the content, obviously, because nobody would, but I just really liked the sensitive way in which you kind of presented that information to the listener. And I was obviously the listener. So just for kind of people listening to this podcast, Sarah and Jess did this amazing look at kind of how schools had responded to people living with HIV children back in the early days. And it's really interesting when we go back in time and think, surely not that people behaved like that. And we can tend to think that it's not in our backyard, but actually what I think you did both beautifully was to share actually just what did happen and why that happened. And it was good. Obviously the content's not, because it's dark and it's horrible, but actually the way you presented that was really good as well. So yeah, I enjoyed that. And I like the chemsex one as well, so there's loads that I really enjoyed.
You know, it's really reassuring to know that when you're listening to it, you're having moments when you think, well, surely that can't have happened, because that is exactly what we go through when we record the episode. So I gather the content for the episode, so I know what we're going to talk about, but Jess doesn't. And some of her reactions, again, it's visual. It doesn't play well on a podcast. I should get better with my phone taking screenshots, because they're Lucy's just like to do things.
It's one of the reasons why we started doing videos, because of the fact that Sarah would say, right, you know, she'd tell me something and it would just be like, no. So that's part of the reason, isn't it? But yeah, no, Sarah does an amazing job of, I don't know, your tempo of it is very good. We manage to have lighter moments, but when there are serious moments, we have those too.
Yeah, definitely. I would just echo that. There is ways that you both manage to present to your listeners some really important, serious stuff, but always within that lens of actually real life that would happen, that you would, like, we're having a conversation now, we're just having a conversation, and that's how it comes across, you know, a really informative conversation between friends and colleagues, which is great. And also just kind of reflecting on that, the conversation you had about chemsex and where you both kind of got involved in kind of learning more about that from service users was really good as well, kind of how we sometimes end up in places and spaces we never thought we would, but we're so glad when we arrive there as well, which was nice to hear. So thank you,
yeah,
for sharing that.
I think that whole chemsex journey has been quite the roller coaster ride for us as support workers, as well as for our service users. It still continues actually to be an emotional roller coaster, I think. Yeah. And I just don't think things like this are talked about enough in the public domain. So I'm glad that we can do that. We don't really have a filter about these things. I think probably make our position quite clear in that we're not judgmental, but we do need to address that this is happening to our community.
Absolutely. And also what I really liked is about how people seek support. You know, they are coming to you for support, and actually we like you say, these are conversations that we need to have because they're affecting people's lives massively. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, so thank you. I will probably pop in another one that I've just remembered that I like. So, thank you. So thinking about that, how do you, I know sort of for myself, I'm just trying to, if you haven't worked out already, I'm trying to steal some of your ideas here, ladies. so how do you come up with ideas for content? So you're going into your 100th episode, and it's something that I can only aspire to. And we're going into series 3. But how do you come up with the content? What kind of determines that? I know you mentioned your service users, but how do you week on week out develop such amazing content?
It's a massive mixture, I would say. So we have a huge list, and we joke that it's a scroll that Sarah rolls out, and you know, it rolls down the road because it's so enormous that we're ever adding to it. So it can be conversations that we're having with our service users in the drop-in, and they'll be talking about something that's affecting them or important, and we'll be like, actually, this is something that people want to know about, they're living with HIV. Or, like what happened the other day, I'll see something on Instagram or Sarah will see something on TV, and we'll come to each other and say, oh, have you seen this? I didn't even know this was to do with HIV. And I'll just like I feel for Sarah because I'll just send her a screen grab, look, a tiny sentence about, we should feature this. And then she has to go away, do the research, look into it, and then comes back and says, just suggested this. And it's like, that's very loose because I sort of just send things. But it comes from everywhere, wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Oh, yeah, I would agree. And some of it, I think, comes from the research that we do. So we'll be looking at perhaps a specific person, Rock Hudson, for example, and when he contracted HIV. And then you look at what happened during that time, and then you find out that Elizabeth Taylor was really supportive of him, so you think, well, we should really feature her in another episode, and then you see that someone else was kind of very supportive, and it just grows and grows, so it's a little bit organic. But some of it, I think, is down to the fact that Jess and I have I think what's referred to as butterfly minds. So when we brainstorm, we just go off in so many different tangents. I mean, it is a true example of how our brains work. And the struggles that Sean, our boss, has in trying to keep us focused. But for podcast episodes, the way we interact works really well because we'll start on one person and we'll end up miles over here. That's why the list is so long.
Thank you for sharing that with us. It's brilliant. Thank you. So I'm just wondering, for our listeners, if you're able to share with us any projects that you're currently working on or developing. Now, mindful when I suggest that, you're very busy because podcasting is very time consuming, as you've just mentioned. But I'm sure you're both amazing ladies. I'm sure that you've got other things up your sleeve. So if you're able to share, then we would love to hear.
Well, one of the things is actually sort of podcast related, and it's just about to go out in our podcast this week, and all the social media would go out. But the second of our disclosure episodes is going to be released on World AIDS Day. And it's a really special episode because we want to share the voices of our community. You know, we do get messages from people. We do get voice notes from people who either want to share things on the show or suggest topics for us. So this is an invitation for people to share their advice, their thoughts, any examples they've had all around HIV disclosure. So whether that's something good to say, something bad, something, you know, someone reacted brilliantly, sort of whatever they would like to share about disclosure, we want to share that on our podcast. And we want to share people's voices. We want, you know, everyone is a part of our podcast already. So we wanted to take that one step further. So we're really excited about that, actually.
Gosh, that sounds wonderful. I will definitely be liking and sharing that all over our platforms. It sounds absolutely wonderful.
Well, please feel free to send us a voice note and we will play it. We're asking from everybody, so we would love that.
I will think of something to send you, but thank you. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I'm just like, you know, like now I'm like my mind's gone blank. I'm like, oh gosh, what do I say?
Not putting you on the spot, I promise. Not putting you on the spot.
I've usually got so much to say, but now I'm like, oh gosh, no. I haven't got a word to say, but thank you.
So the other thing we're working on, and actually we've pulled Sarah away today because she is non-stop at the moment. People will have heard on our podcast, this is to do with our service, that our premises in Slough are sort of uncertain at the moment. And yeah, basically, Sarah, you're working a bit non-stop on trying to secure them, aren't you?
Yeah, so our premises are under threat. So we're based in Slough. Slough Council's got a huge amount of debt. And they need to sell all their assets. And one of those assets is our house. So that's taken up quite a lot of time. We rant about it, I think, on the podcast. But a welcome relief from all of the work that goes into raising awareness and trying to save our premises is the kind of podcast. So we've got an episode coming up. And anyone who listens to our podcast will know how much I love chocolate buttons. So we've got an episode coming up that looks at whether there's a link between HIV and chocolate, and there is. It's not anything to do with eating chocolate and contracting HIV, which I know some people will be like, no, but there is. So we sometimes set each other challenges where we're like, I bet there's no way HIV could be linked to this, and that was one of them. So that's a nice distraction from what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so oh gosh, I can't even begin to articulate how much time's going into saving the premises, or how hard that must be for you guys or your service user as well, you know. Yeah, so we'll keep this space and I will keep our listeners updated. And if there is anything that you think as a community we can do to help, then I'm sure we would be delighted to support with that. We can't have services closing that do so much great work as well, and it feels like you're definitely in the heart of the community as well. So if you do think of anything, I'm not sure what that would be, just let us know and I'm sure we would be delighted to help you. So now this is the part of the show that I get to know you a little bit better. Now, I do like all part of the show, but I think I really enjoy this part as well. So can you share with our listeners something that you do as part of your self-care?
Yes, I think, well, I've already mentioned the chocolate buttons, Michelle. There is a that's my comfort go-to, but it's not particularly healthy. So the other thing I like to do is go for a walk. It's so simple, but it's really effective, isn't it? And it kind of started during lockdown. Do you remember when the government said to us that, you know, you're not allowed out of your house, but you could go for a walk? And I was like, yes, I will go for a walk. It's the only thing I can do. And it just kind of stuck. So that's where I get my headspace from, is just a quick walk and I'm good, set for the day.
Yeah, no, that's really good, because it's just a simple thing that I often forget to do. And it's just like, yeah, great getting out in nature. It's just really, really powerful. Mm. Really powerful.
It is. And it's free. Oh, that's what I like the best.
100%. And also what I like about it, see, I'm, again, pinching ideas, you could add that to your routine, daily routine. So like, drive, park a bit further away, have a little bit of a walk. Phenomenal. Thank you for sharing that. Jess, your self-care?
Well, as Sarah knows, and if you listen to the podcast as well, you'll know that I love a fad. And so at the moment, I'm calling it Ice Face, which my husband especially enjoys. And it's basically just shoving your face in a bowl of like ice water every morning. So it's supposed to stimulate the vagus nerve. So yeah, I'm doing that currently, but that will probably last maybe another week or so, Sarah, I'm imagining, and then I'll find something else. But my real self-care routine, a bit like Sarah actually, it's just walking my dogs. I don't have that impetus to go out sort of by myself. I can never find that motivation. So I have three rescue dogs that you've probably been hearing. I'm so sorry about that. Jimbo, Rita and Tony. And yeah, they're just the best. And I love taking them out for a walk. And especially Tony, he's really fat and slow. Even though he's young, someone this morning said to me, oh, is he old? I was like, no, he's six. Like, he's just so slow, but he really chills you out. So if you're having quite a stressful day, if you take him out, you just have to slow down with him and be like, okay, let's just take in the scenery. We'll enjoy our walk. So that is what I do.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah, I love that, being like following the pace of the dog. It's amazing. Yeah, brilliant. Fabulous. Can you share with us a book that you have been reading?
Oh yes, I can. This has been influenced by Jess. So Jess loves true crime, talks about it a lot. So the book I'm reading at the moment is by someone called Ray Fish. It's called Shallow Graves, and it's true stories of his life as a forensic scientist. So I think, I mean, Jess knows I love everything happy in life. Like, my favorite TV program is Friends. That's my go-to for escapism. But I'm going to try and persevere with this. I think it might be a bit harrowing.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing, Sarah? You're going to have nightmares.
Exactly.
Pushing myself outside my comfort zone, that my consumption of chocolate buttons is going to go through the roof. Cadbury's are going to announce that their profits have increased massively, and it'll all be down to me and this book. I'm going to try it. I'm going to go for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I will look forward to hearing how that goes on the podcast.
Oh, Michelle, send me your good thoughts, please.
Yeah. Send those positive vibes.
Yeah. I just feel like that your kind of self-growth is just torturing yourself a bit. It's like you've gone to the other end of the spectrum. Like, right, scare myself to death.
Yes, but it's because you watch lots of true crime programs, you've read books, you listen to the podcast, and I'm thinking there's gotta be something in this that I'm just not getting. So I'm gonna start with this book and see where we go. I mean, if it doesn't work out, Michelle, mine and Jess's relationship probably ruined forever. But
yeah, exactly. Probably where you go is to therapy, but that might be another. let's hope it works out.
We can do a follow-up episode and it'll be my journey through therapy. Well, just me and you, Michelle. Just
course,
me and
you. Yeah. Well, I do hope that book works out for lots of reasons.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Jess, what about yourself, my lovely? Any books you're reading at the moment?
So mine was the last book I read, and it was Fast Like a Girl by Dr. Mindy Peltz.
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard of it, but
yeah, that rings
it's
a bell.
Amazing. I had to get it on back order. I don't know if everyone's buying it in the whole of the UK. Someone recommended it to me. I hadn't heard of it before. But I've been chatting to Sarah about this because it's not necessarily, well, obviously the book's about fasting, but the reason I love it isn't necessarily because of the fasting element. It's because it has blown my mind. I've learned so much about women's cycles and our hormones, and that I had absolutely no idea about, like none, and how we can do certain things to help ourselves. And I mean, I have horrendous like period pains and things like that, but I didn't realize that, you know, in the week before our period, we have more progesterone. And so we should be much more gentle with ourselves, rather than this whole ethos of we must always be out being fit and, you know, moving. It's like, no, it's a comfort week. And I was saying this to Sarah yesterday. I was like, why aren't we taught this at school? Why don't we know as women? Like, men have a 24-hour hormone cycle. Honestly, that Sarah's like, I'm like, I am on one. We're here for another hour, everyone. Buckle in. But it's just amazing. And it's like, yeah, you're going to feel this way at this time, but this is what you can do to help. You're going to feel, and it's like, oh my God, I can work with my cycle rather than just being like, oh, well, this is rubbish for 3 weeks. Oh, I get one good week. Brilliant. Oh, no, rubbish again. Like, I just think it sucked for women for so long, and we're no one helps us or talks about it. And I say this a lot on the podcast, it's because no one cares because we're women.
Well, yeah, that's a whole...
I'll calm down now, everyone. It's okay. I'll bring it down now.
No, you're raising some really good points. And I think, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast and I'm talking about it all the time. It's like, why do we have this? It's like veil of secrecy around all things women's issues, you know, like we've talked on the podcast about the menopause. Hello, that was the worst kept secret. Why didn't we just tell women that this is what you could expect? And also, God forbid, we want to talk about women having sexual pleasure. It's like, why don't we talk about that? We don't talk about so many things. So yeah, I will.
Exactly.
Yeah, I will definitely be looking at that.
And it's like the shameful thing, isn't it? That's why I know we joke about it, and I know some people find it very crass, but we talk about our vaginas and we give them names, and we're silly because we're just we're trying to encourage other people as well to, you don't have to go into all sorts of details, but let's be more open. Like you're saying, it's everything's, we're almost taught that it's shameful. We shouldn't talk about those things.
Absolutely. And I think I'm loving, you know, like we are getting more of a voice, you know, talking about the menopause, and, you know, it happens, guys. We can't just ignore it. We can't just pretend it's not happening because our bodies let us know. So yeah, I will definitely be looking at that book. So thank you for that share. So this is the last question to both, and it's one that I added in just recently. So it's a new question for series 3. So if you could go to lunch, dinner, or just a coffee with somebody, past or present, who would that be and why?
Mine would be Princess Diana. I think lots of people might say her, actually. But it's just because I think there was a lot more to all of that than we'll ever know. But also because of the kind of work she did around HIV, she really kind of went against the protocol of the royal family in visiting places like the Lighthouse, and kind of showing her love and support to those who had AIDS, which I think was a phenomenal thing to do at the time because nobody else was doing it. And I'd love to understand more about why she kind of chose that as one of her kind of areas of support. Because the royal family were very against her doing it. And I'd just like to say thank you as well, because I think she was a lovely person. Very kind, very supportive, very forward thinking. So I think, yeah, see what she could come up with. And then I'd write a podcast episode about it.
Brilliant.
No, always there.
Never miss an opportunity.
New avenues of discussion.
Yes. So mine would be Eazy-E, and I don't know if you've listened to our two-parter episodes on Eazy-E. And so Eazy-E was a part of NWA, who was a hip-hop group, sort of the real founders, the godfathers of hip-hop, some might say. But there is the reason I would want to meet with him is because we looked at a conspiracy around how he contracted HIV. And Suge Knight, who I feel like I'm ruining the whole episode, but Suge Knight basically was the record producer. And he, on Jimmy Fallon Tonight, on live TV, I don't know if it was live, but on like primetime TV, was joking with Jimmy Fallon and basically saying that there was a new thing where you could take HIV and inject someone with it. And there was a whole big conspiracy that Eazy-E had actually been kidnapped by Suge Knight and injected with someone who was positive with their blood, and that's how he became positive. And it's like, did he, didn't he? I would just want to know that. So mine probably wouldn't be lunch, dinner, or coffee. I'd be slightly terrified, but I want to know. I really would love to know that answer.
Yes, then we could wrap up. We could wrap up that episode, couldn't we? Because at the end of the episode, we don't know how Eazy-E contracted, whether the conspiracies were true. It fell a bit flat, didn't it? To be honest, because we're no further forward than we don't really know the outcome.
So many episodes, Sarah, where we're like, so this is what we're going to answer at the end. We're like, we didn't answer that at all. But haven't we had fun?
I would be with you on that. I'd be mildly terrified, but also very curious to understand what happened.
Yeah, the politics in this, so we had to make it into two episodes in the end, or Sarah made it into two episodes, because the politics around all of the gangs and the record labels was so fascinating, wasn't it? It was so much that we needed to understand that before we could move forward and understand everything else.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it might surprise you to know, Michelle, that hip-hop is not my preferred choice of music. It's a bit of an alien concept to me.
Yeah, well, I did think it was part of your growth, going into areas of the unknown. Yeah.
So that's why we had to split it over two episodes. A lot of the first episode was just explaining to myself what all the terminology was and trying not to sound like an idiot.
Oh, gosh, I can imagine. I can imagine I would not know the first thing.
No.
Well done for braving that as well. I have just wrote that down because I am going to be listening to that. So I'll be having a surely not moment in the car.
Oh, yes. And then a chocolate button moment, Michelle. Look how we're trying to influence you.
You know, I am very easily influenced. I will be straight on that. So thank you so much, ladies, for sparing the time. I know you're both extremely busy, but I've had a wonderful time chatting to you both, so thank you so much for sparing your time today.
Oh, we have too. Thank you, this has been so lovely.
Yeah, we've had an amazing time.
Thank you to today's guest and to you for listening to this episode of HIV Matters. I don't know if you're anything like me and are busy writing down the lovely book suggestions made in our show. That's why HIV Matters have teamed up with bookshop.org to bring all these fantastic books to you in one unique place. To find out more about this and how to access the bookstore, please check out today's show descriptions. Today's edition of HIV Matters has been brought to you via an unrestricted educational grant from Vive Healthcare and Gilead Sciences. Gilead and Vive have had no input into guests or topics. HIV Matters is the official podcast of the National HIV Nurses Association. For more information about the National HIV Nurses Association, head over to www.nivna.org. Thanks again for listening to our show. We hope to see you next time, and together we can make a difference.